Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I love this passage of scripture. We're going to read a good chunk of scripture today. If you haven't got a Bible to follow along with, you can check out the screen. All the verses are going to come up. And this is what Jesus said. I know it's Jesus because it's in red. And Jesus said, "I am the true vine." I love that. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." So it doesn't matter which way you look at it, we're going to get cut. But I'd rather produce some fruit and be pruned than produce no fruit and get cut off completely. It says he prunes those who bear fruit. So that, why? The pruning has a purpose. The pruning has a because. The pruning has a so that. So that it will be even more fruitful. Why? Because in God there's always more. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said. So to the person next to you, you're such a branch. Hey, that's a compliment. That's a good thing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will, not you might, not you could, but you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nada, niente, nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. I love that. Ask whatever you wish. The religious don't like these type of verses, because they're not about the blessing of God. They think God's stingy, God's limited. God only has a small amount to give out amongst his people. But Jesus says, if we remain in him and he remains in us, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I love that. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. When do we look like his disciples? When we're living fruitful lives. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. I love that Jesus calls us his amigos. You are my amigos. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I didn't just choose you. He says, I appointed you. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Not fruit that is seen one day and gone the next. Fruit that will last And so that whatever you ask, here it is again, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for the power and the truth that we find in your word. Over the next 30 minutes or so, God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive that which you're wanting to do in our lives today. Father, I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for this amazing opportunity to share your word to these, your amazing people. Do what only you can do. And Father, I beg you to have mercy on every Manchester United supporter in this room. How can a Christian support a team called the Red Devils? Welcome them into heaven, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. That's deep theology right there. When I was 12 years old, that was a very long time ago, I went to my first school camp. And it was a four-day camp, and I was excited. I went to an all-boys school when I was living in Sydney. And with the boys, with my mates, we were just excited to hang out. No parents. It's going to be awesome. Get up to a whole bunch of mischief. Four-day camp, and every afternoon during those 4 days, there was an afternoon physical activity that one had to be a part of. About 3 days in, I was told that the activity for that afternoon was going to be abseiling. If you don't know what abseiling is, there's a photo of what it looks like here on the screen. Now, when you're a 12-year-old boy and you're fearful of heights, that is demonic. That is something you don't want to hear that you need to be a part of. I was scared of heights, and as soon as I heard we're going to do abseiling, the fear of the Lord came into my heart. I basically said to my teachers, nah, I ain't doing it. I said to all the boys, I'm not doing it. And all my friends were like, come on, Chris, you can do it. The teachers were saying to me, come on, Chris, face your fears. I was 12 years old. I wasn't ready to face my fears. Let me live a little. 12 years old. And basically, I did what every 12-year-old does. I gave in to peer pressure. I went to the top of the 15-meter drop that we're going to be abseiling down. They started to connect the harness to me. The harness was put on so tight that when they finished, I said, thank you very much. I appreciate you. The harness was connected to a rope, and that rope was connected to two teachers who were going to give slack on the rope and help me down. Those two teachers were connected to this metal rod, and that metal rod was driven into a bigger rock that was at the back of that base. And so there were about 3 or 4 different points of connection, and the teachers are like, Chris, come on, you've got to do this. Start walking backwards. And as I got to the edge, I did what you should never do when you're fearful of heights. I looked down. My legs started to shake. My palms got all sweaty. My mouth went dry. I was like, I can't do it. My friends are like, yes, you can. I was like, no, I can't. The teachers are like, yes, you can. Just step out. So I took my first step, and I was no longer on the edge. And I take about 5 steps where I'm pretty much hanging in the air. And I froze, completely. I reckon around 2 minutes went by where I just didn't move. My legs were shaking, and my teachers are like, Chris, you got to keep going. And I'm like, no, I don't. They're like, you got to keep going. Let go of the rope and take some steps. And I made a vital mistake. When you're abseiling and your feet are leaning against the rock and you're just hanging there, you've got to move your feet a little bit before you let some rope go. I let the rope go without moving my feet. What happened was my backside went in the air. My feet were worshiping Jesus. I'm looking down to my death, literally upside down, scared for my life. And on top of the fear, I was totally embarrassed that this was happening. And the teachers are like, Chris, pull yourself up a little bit. Lean against the rock and keep going. Pull myself up. I couldn't move. So they decided to help me. They started letting go of the rope and they let me down in that position. Where my feet didn't touch the ground first, my head did. My feet were still worshiping the Lord. And I thank God that day that my harness was connected to a rope, that those ropes were connected to two teachers, that those teachers were connected to a metal rod, and that that metal rod was connected to an even bigger rock. Because I am convinced if I wasn't connected correctly, I would have plunged to my death that day. If I wasn't connected to the right people who were connected to the right objects, who knows what would have happened? And I want to speak to you this afternoon about living with the right connections in your life. I love that Jesus says time and time again, I am the vine, you are the branches. So much we must take note of from these 17 verses of Scripture in John chapter 15. Why are the right connections so important to us? I'll tell you why, friend. In life, there are certain connections which are vital, which are crucial to us becoming who God has called us to become, to us doing what God has called us to do, to us going where God is wanting to send us to go. If we don't have the right connections, we can fall for anything. Connections are so vital. Jesus says, you are the branches, I am the vine. Remain in me, remain in my love, remain in my word. And I want to talk to you this afternoon about three connections that are vital to our progress in our walk with God. The first one is our vertical connection. That'll be our connection to God and with God. Our vertical connection. Without a doubt, the most important connection we need in life. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, verse 5, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he ends this verse with saying, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I often ask myself, why is it that our human DNA and our human nature always leads us to want to do things on our own? We try to produce in our lives what we can only produce with being connected with God. I've come to understand that I can't be the husband God has destined me to be if I'm not connected to Him. I cannot be the father God has called me to be if I'm not connected to Him. I cannot love. I cannot lead. I cannot do what God has called me to do if I'm not continually connected to Him. See, our connection with God is not a once-off event. It's something that has to happen on a daily basis. Jesus said, if you remain, so many people don't remain in Him, they just visit with Him. And we need to remain in Him. And if He remains in us, we will bear much fruit. What are you trying to do in your own strength that you can only do by remaining connected to Him? Abraham got sick of waiting. Try to produce the promise in his own strength and produced an Ishmael. But God doesn't want us to produce Ishmaels. He has an Isaac promise for us. And what we need to do is remain connected to Him. Because it's only through that connection that we're going to see that which God wants to do in us and through us. Mother Teresa said, there is always the danger that we just do the work for the sake of the work. This is where respect, love, and devotion comes in. That we do everything we do to God and to Christ. And that's why we try and do it all as beautifully as possible. You know, in our Christian walk, it's so easy to go through the routines of religion. We come to church in any one of our locations every Sunday to tick off a religious box. I went to church thinking that our attendance pleases God. We worship God, we raise our hands, we do the do, and our hands may be raised, but our hearts aren't. And we're thinking that our outward appearance is pleasing God. And I love what Mother Teresa says. We can often do the work for the sake of the work. Those of us who are part of our volunteer teams, those of us who serve God, those of us who walk with Him. Why do we do what we do? I never want to get to the place where I just go to church for the sake of going to church. I never want to get to the place where I serve for the sake of serving, thinking that my actions please God and not my heart connection. We need to strengthen our vertical connection with Him, not just go through the religious motions, but strengthening our vertical connection. That's why, friend, our Bible reading, our devotion is so important. If the only time you open your Bible is 35 minutes on a Sunday to hear someone preach, you have a weak connection. That's why our prayer time is so vital. If the only time you speak to God through prayer is during the 20 minutes of worship on a Sunday or when the MC is leading the prayer request moment, you have a weak connection. That's why being filled continually with the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but be filled. The Greek used being filled is present and continual. It's not a once-off event. It's something that must happen on a daily basis, because being filled with the Holy Spirit every day strengthens our connection. We cannot do life without Him. Our devotion is so vital to strengthening our connection. Young person, if I can just speak to you for a moment. When you wake up in the morning, don't go to your Facebook page first. Don't go to your Instagram account first. Don't go to your Twitter account first. Don't get on the chats that all your friends are on first. All that stuff is good. And you can be inspired by things that others are doing, and you can see things that cause you to laugh and to bring joy to your heart. But I want to encourage you, go to the Word of God first. Spend time in prayer with Him first. Strengthen your vertical connection. We need a generation that spends less time in Facebook and more time in His book, so that this relationship with Him is strengthened and we have convictions to stand on. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. When the enemy came to tempt Jesus, he didn't say, this is what I think or this is my opinion. He said in the face of temptation, it is written. That's why our Bible time, our prayer time, being filled with the Spirit, he's so vital. I love that in verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Remaining in Him, not just visiting with Him. For without Him, we can do nothing. But connected to Him, we will bear not just some fruit, but much fruit. And I don't know about you, but I want to live in the much more of God. Here's the thing about fruit. If you were to eat an apple after church, you're not going to eat that apple, which is juicy, it's beautiful, refreshing, full of vitamins. When you eat that apple, you're not gonna say, wow, this apple came from an awesome branch. Because the branch didn't produce the fruit, it only held the fruit. You're gonna say, wow, what an awesome apple tree this was. And we run the danger when our life starts to produce fruit, to make the fruit that our life's producing about the branch that it's being produced through and not about the vine we're connected to. And so if you stay connected with Him and you strengthen your connection to Him and your life produces fruit on a continual basis, you will never run the risk of taking the glory for yourself, because you understand, unless you're connected to the vine, you can do nothing. Nobody will see anything in you. But when we're connected to the vine, the fruit doesn't give glory to the branch. It gives connected to the one who is worthy of all glory, all honor, and all praise. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So our vertical connection is so important. The second connection I want to speak to you about is our horizontal connection. That'll be our connection with others. You know, you were never designed to do life on your own. never designed to do life on your own. I love that on three occasions, Jesus said, love each other. Love one another. Because it's not about us on our own. It's about those we're connected to. That's why I love the church. The church is a point of connection. You don't need to come into this place and any other one of our other locations and feel that you're alone. Because this isn't a crowd. We're not building a crowd. Thank God for filled auditoriums and arenas, but we're not building a crowd. We're building a family. And we need to strengthen our horizontal connections. You need to know, you may be here for the first time, maybe you've been coming for a while. You need to know that every single individual in the life of Hillsong Church can have a point of connection, but it's not the pastor's decision, it's not your connect group leader's decision, or it's not your team leader's decision on the level of your connection. It's our own individual decision. Jesus said, stay connected to me, love one another, be connected with each other. We need to strengthen our horizontal connection. Friend, church is not a place we attend. Church is not a place we visit. Church is a place where we belong because it's a family of faith, a community of believers filled with imperfect people. What I love about that is that there's a place for everyone. The only thing that's not accepted in Hillsong Church is perfection. God didn't call us to be perfect. The only one that was perfect gave his life so that an imperfect humanity can connect with a perfect God. And we need to strengthen our horizontal connection. But how are we going to love each other without being connected? I love the primitive church. I love the primitive church, the foundations of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, I think Ben referenced a bit in his offering talk, and then he referenced Acts chapter 4, and I've been studying the first 7 or 8 chapters of Acts lately, just fascinated by what God did in the early church. You know, so many people around South America, we're seeing some awesome things in our church in Buenos Aires and in Sao Paulo, and over, you know, just on 12,000 people in 2 years have given their hearts to Jesus, and buildings are full, and it's amazing. Yeah, I don't say that to get a clap. I say that to say this, and that's awesome, and people are fascinated by that. But the challenge in that is we need to change a crowd into a congregation, a multitude into a community of believers, because we're not about crowds. God's not about crowds. He's about a community. He's about family. And people come and ask all the time, all over South America, pastors that come in, or when I go to different places, I say, Chris, tell me about how to do contemporary church in Latin America. We see what you're doing. It's so contemporary for this continent. It's amazing. And I'm like, hey, hang on. Don't focus on the aesthetics. It's not about the package. It's about what the package holds. And I always say to these guys, you know, you can think that we're all about a show. You can think we're about a great production. And you can look at our churches in Europe or our churches in Australia or the US or now in South America. And you can be misled by what you see. Because it's not about the package. Thank God we have an attractive package. Thank God it draws people in. And I always say to these pastors, don't spend so much time studying contemporary churches. Study the early church. Because that's what's inside the package. And I love Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47, because the Bible says that they met daily in the temple. Don't worry, we're not going to have church services in London every day. Breathe a sigh of relief there in Newcastle. It says they met in the temple. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And then it says that they broke bread in their homes and ate together. They did it with gladness, with generosity. And then it says that God added to the number that were being saved daily. I have a thought that maybe the growth and the progress of a church is not based on what happens on Sunday, but on what happens Monday through Saturday. Because it says daily he added to their number as they broke bread, as they shared the table with one another, as they connected with each other. And others were being added because they were saying, I want to be a part of that. I want to buy into that. I want to connect with them. And friend, that's where we get the thought and the concept. It wasn't our own idea. It's Bible of connect groups. That's why connect groups are so vital to what we do as a church. I love what Pastor Brian always says. Our church is not a big church. It's a small church with lots of people. Why? Because everyone can have a point of connection if they choose to do so. And connect groups breaks it down. Breaks down the corporate from the weekend and makes it just another layer of personal. There's a misconception out there that big churches are unfriendly. My thought is a big church has more people I can be friends with. And my level of connection is my decision. And if you've been in our church here in London or any one of our other locations outside of London, can I encourage a friend, if you've been visiting, if you've been attending, strengthen your horizontal connection after the service in every one of our foyers. We have connect teams and they'll be able to speak to you about connect groups, and your level of connection will multiply as you make a choice to get connected into the heartbeat of our church. You don't need to go through that storm on your own. You don't need to face that giant on your own. You don't need to stand in front of that challenge on your own. This is not a crowd. This is a family. And as a church, we must make a decision to strengthen our horizontal connection. I love Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, another version says, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. See how it says restore the person and not expose the person? Maybe those who love exposing others' sin aren't spiritual. That's a message for South America. I'll just keep that to myself. Because it says, those of you who live by the Spirit, restore. But often in the church, in the church at large, we expose instead of restoring. Goes on and says, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. I love that. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. And by carrying each other's burdens, by caring for one another, by saying, you know what, your dad's in hospital, but I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to see how he's going. What does your family need? What can we do to come alongside? I know that's what got me through my 2 years where my dad's health was going backwards and he ended up graduating into heaven. If it wasn't for the church family that I was connected to, I don't know how I would have got through that season. And the Bible says you do not fulfill the law of Christ by completing a set of rules or regulations that the religious give. You fulfill the law of Christ by being connected to one another, by carrying each other's burdens, because we are better together. We are better together. So I want to encourage you, if you need to take that next step, getting into a connect group, be one of the best decisions you make this year. I love 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The scripture says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil. Tell the devil no, not today. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When he comes looking, may he not find you. It says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. You know, I love South America, but I also love Africa. I love Africa. I wish I could do that properly. Yeah, there it is, there it is. The anointing just went up about 10 levels. I've had the opportunity over the last 8 years to go to Africa on a yearly basis. Many times to our church in South Africa and just, woohoo! Chandak bro. And just a few months ago, I was in Uganda with Pastor. Okay, shut up, you're taking my time. I was in Uganda with Pastor Gary and looking at some of the compassion projects that we support as a church. And it's my second time at the compassion projects. Honestly, just wrecked me on the inside again. It changed my life completely. And 6 of the 8 times that I've been to Africa, I've done safaris with the hope, with the faith, with the expectation. I'm a faith man of seeing a lion in the wild. 6 safaris. 6. I've seen hippopotamuses. Big, ugly. Seen elephants. Oh, majestic, amazing, amazing. I've seen rhinos. The first time I went to South Africa, I went into a park, a safari park, and there was a rhino when I got out of the car to take a photo. And it was back in the day when you actually had a camera to take photos, and when it went click, the rhino literally turned around, and the guy driving the car, he was like, Pastor Chris, Pastor Chris, get in the car, get in the car. And I literally jumped in the car. We drove off because it was turning around to face me and it was taking its position to charge. I got out of there quickly. I've seen giraffes. Giraffes have a height that Pastor Gary desires. I won't say that in the next service when he's here. I want to get invited back. Amazing, but no lions. 6 times. I've never seen a lion in the wild. I'm like, Lord, I thought you loved me. I thought your favor was towards me. What I love about lions, I love the male lion because when the family of lions is hungry, the male lion's a good male. Just lies in the sun, under the rays of the sun, but the lioness. Lioness. I have a lioness in my home. Row. Row. She's a Latino lioness. The lioness is the hunter. Lioness is the hunter. And what does she do? She will go around with some other lionesses. They have a sisterhood meeting. And they will go looking for a herd of animals, whatever they may be. Let's choose zebras. And what they'll do is the lioness will obviously go down low in the long grass, waiting for a zebra to drift away from the herd, or whatever you call a herd of zebras. There's an official name which I don't know. And the lioness will wait. And the moment she sees one cocky zebra that's jumping up and down, thinking it can be on its own, and it drifts from the pack, the lioness pounces. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion, looking and seeking to find him or she that he may devour. And what he's looking for? Believers who are disconnected from the herd. Because the moment he or she disconnects from the herd, The enemy comes with temptation. The enemy comes to sow doubt. The enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy your God-given purpose. That is why our horizontal connections are vital, because the strength of who we are is found in our connection. And when you're a connected believer to other believers, the enemy will not find he who he may devour. That's why we need to strengthen our horizontal connections. You know the armor of God in Ephesians 6. All of the armor of God covers the front of your body. There's not one piece of armor for the back of your body. Why? Because we're to cover each other's backs. We're to march forward together. Our horizontal connections are vital, friend. Our strength is seen in our connection with each other. Vertical connection with God. Horizontal connection with one another. And number three, as the team comes, our geographical connection, which is with the world. Our geographical connection with the world. Friend, we cannot reach a world we are not connected to. We cannot reach a world of which we know nothing about. We need to be connected with the world. Jesus said, I've appointed you to go and bear much fruit. What has he appointed us to? Where do we bear the fruit? In the world we live in. He says, I'm going to send my disciples to go, to heal the sick, to go into the world. In John chapter 17, verses 15 to 18, if you ever want to study what Jesus prayed, study John chapter 17. You're going to see him pray about the disciples. You're going to see him pray about believers, and you're going to see him pray about the entire globe. And in verses 15 to 18, this is what Jesus prays to the Father. He says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Vertical connection. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Our geographical connection is vital if we're going to bear the fruit God has called us to bear. We cannot reach a world we're not connected to. In my part of the world where we live, it is said that the world is big, bad, and ugly, and a Christian has no business with connecting with people who are worldly, with connecting with people who aren't believers, with connecting with those who are unchurched. And we're teaching our church, if we don't connect, who's going to shine the light of Jesus? Who's going to bring about the God flavors to a bitter, dry, and dying world? Our geographical connection is vital. Why? Because Jesus sent us into the world. We're in it, we're not of it. We're amongst them, but we don't live like them. We live according to our vertical connection, our horizontal connection, which strengthens us for our geographical connection. I don't know about you, but when I go home after church on Sunday, or after Connect Group, or whatever activity I might have with fellow believers, when Lucy and I walk into our apartment in Buenos Aires, there are no angels flying around. What's more, there are no cherubim expanding their wings, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God. Why? Because up until this point of my life, I'm not positioned in heaven. God has positioned me in the world. And we run the risk of living in a Christian bubble, failing to realize that God positioned us in the world to make a difference in the world, to reach the world, to influence the world we're living. See, friend, the cross was both vertical and horizontal. The cross was a bridge that connected a lost humanity to the love of the Father. And today, the church is also a bridge which connects the world to the love of the Father. And if we're not connected to the world, how are we going to win the world? I don't know about you. I love the connections I have in church, but we need to make sure we don't step into a bubble of Christendom. I want to make sure that I've got a lot of friends that are unsaved. That every week I go to the same coffee shop and I smile to the same barista who doesn't work in a Christian coffee shop. What is that, a Christian coffee shop? We read Christian books and we listen to Christian music. The only thing called Christians are human beings, because we're the only ones who can receive salvation. I don't want to go to the same Christian hairdresser every time. I don't want to go to the same Christian bookstore. I want to get amongst those who don't know Jesus. Smile to the person putting my groceries in the bag at the supermarket when nobody else looks at her, when nobody else acknowledges her. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for being here today. Why? Because I want my life to bear fruit. I don't want my life to be about the day we get saved. Our life stops being about ourselves and begins to be about others. And we need to strengthen our geographical connection. I'll tell you why, friend. The world is not called to the church. The church is called to the world. There are more people on the streets of London and the streets of the UK than there are in church today. And we need to connect geographically so that many will come to know the love of the Father. God wants to use you to bear much fruit. God wants to use you to shine His light. God wants to use you to be His hands and be His feet in central London, in East London, at Oxford, in Newcastle, all over Europe. Friend, we need to know what's going on in the world. I come from a cultural background that when I got saved, they were like, don't waste your time reading the newspaper. Don't go to the movies. Don't listen to that. Don't do that. And I put myself in a bubble until I realized that God didn't call me to live in a bubble. He called me to live in the world. When I began to preach, I began to realize that if I don't know what's going on in here, where people live from Monday to Saturday, how am I going to know to connect what's in here to where they're connected to every day? We need to connect with the world and bring truth and bring love and bring freedom and bring hope and bring encouragement and bring purpose, because God has appointed you. God has called you. He connected with you vertically. He wants to connect you horizontally so that together we can go out and shake cities and rock nations and reach continents for the glory of His name. Come on, would you sing it out today?
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.